I love restaurants. The first job that ever made me excited to show up for work was in a restaurant. The first job where it felt like all the people that mattered were standing right next to me was in a restaurant. And the first job that ever made me feel like I was really in over my head, like sort of in a good way, was in a restaurant. Now, I was never a chef, and I have total respect for what chefs do, but I've always felt that restaurants were much more than just the chef. They're the cooks, the dishwashers, the hosts, the servers, and they're the people who gather in them. So this week, our show is all about restaurants and their people. We'll start with Amy Thielen. She's the author of a memoir called Give a Girl a Knife that's about her path from rural northern Minnesota to high-end kitchens in New York and back again. So, to be clear, she hasn't cooked in a restaurant in almost 10 years, and she's careful to say that she doesn't think she represents what it's like to be a woman in the kitchen. But Amy writes about her restaurant experience with a generous and human touch, and I want to talk to her about that human side of kitchens, and how, as we hear more and more about the sexual harassment in the industry, well, how she feels about it now. Amy, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so there are lots of stories and books about life in restaurant kitchens, but, you know, most of them, I think, are about the blood and guts. They're about, you know, the life on the edge stuff. But there's a passage in your book that I want to talk to you about because I think it's about a side of that life that we don't hear much about. And there's this moment where you describe two of your fellow cooks. You're working in restaurants at the time in New York City, in like high-end, super high-level restaurants. And you and these other cooks are prepping, and these two cooks, they start talking about their girlfriends. And one of them starts talking about how he came home in the middle of the night from work, and she made him a sandwich, and recalling that seemed to make both of them want to cry. And it's such a tender moment. And it really made me feel like people really can find family in restaurant kitchens. So can you tell me what you found in your kitchen families?
Oh, definitely. There was a kinship. I mean, that moment is really about feeding others. And these two guys who spend their entire day, all of us did, we spend all of our days being generous and feeding, you know, it's the hospitality industry. So there is this like compulsion to feed and to give, you know, it's there. And then when they go home, somebody does that for them. So, you know, it's really powerful. I definitely bonded with so many of the people that I worked with over the years. That's what a kitchen is. It becomes very familial because you spend so much time together, and it's a very informal atmosphere at the same time. And so you put those two ingredients together and you have really just, and it's an intense, you know, environment, and there's high stakes and you have to depend upon one another. So definitely there's a family feeling.
Yeah. And you left restaurant cooking years ago now.
It's been a long time. I mean, I'm really not a representative any longer of, you know, a woman chef or anything like that. I cooked for 10 years or more, but it's been, you know, probably 9 years since I was there. So 10 years probably. So
yeah. Again, the famous stories about restaurant kitchens are about that intensity that you talk about. And, you know, there are lots of ways to look at that, that camaraderie, that, you know, it's almost like if you play sports, that's a metaphor, team sports, that's a metaphor you understand, right? It's like you become a team, you like steal yourselves with the help of your teammates. And, you know, that intense, you know, that kind of relationship makes a lot of sense. But
I just don't really like sports, but I really don't like sports. But yeah, I would say that sports is a good analogy, but I think that maybe theater is a better one.
Huh.
Because, you know, when you're working in a kitchen, nobody else can really play your part. Nobody else really knows your lines. And that's exactly why people, cooks, when they get sick, they don't call in sick because it's, you know, nobody knows your part. You know, so I think theater is actually a really good analogy.
Yeah, but there is this other side, right? And you described it just now as a really informal situation. And, you know, that's a situation where there is also a lot of hyper macho intensity, and there's a lot of transgressiveness, and in some cases, like, being transgressive for its own sake. A lot of it is about, like, hey, we are a pirate ship, so we're going to act like one, and being foul-mouthed. And as I think is becoming really, really clear in what we've been hearing in the media and reports about what, you know, assault and sexual harassment and in the industry, there is a lot of sexism, and there's a lot of conversation about how that kind of environment feels fine for some people, but makes other people feel really threatened and unsafe. And in some cases are literally threatened and unsafe. And
yeah.
And it's, you know, more and more as these stories have come out, it's become clear to me as a man who hasn't had to deal with a lot of this stuff on a personal basis, that people, especially women, either end up just putting up with it and they think it's part of the job, or it finally drives them out. And you have this line that is a beautiful line, but I want to ask what it means. You say you saw a lot of things that gave you pause, but you didn't want to hit the pause button when you were there. Why not?
I mean, there's so much to respond to what you just said, but I wanted to be a cook, and I liked the environment of cooking because it was informal and it wasn't an office. But yeah, the sexism was rampant and it was really upsetting. And I don't think there's a woman who ever worked in a kitchen who wasn't upset by it. I mean, there are women who, every woman took a different approach and tack to dealing with it, you know? Mm. I mean, some women would talk dirtier than the guys, you know? And eventually that was kind of what I did as well. Mm. And you know, to be fair, it's like I hear about these stories and I experienced plenty of sexual harassment, but I was never assaulted. It was never physical. It never got to the point for me that I had to, you know, consider taking legal action. And when I hear these stories, I feel a little bit of survivor's guilt. You know, it's like, wow, it wasn't that bad for me. And why wasn't it? I don't know. But I just want to say that, you know, a shout out to everybody who didn't have it as easy as I did. And that said, you know, there was plenty that I had to deal with and that women have to deal with in kitchens. It's kind of like you have an extra part-time job on top of your really, really intense and very difficult job. And that's dealing with the emotional fallout of being, you know, a woman and having to be a little resistance fighter, you know, to like get what you want, because the kitchen is such a competitive environment, and there's almost like a toxic masculinity a lot of times in kitchens. And frankly, I don't think that's good for the guys either. It's not good for the women. It's not good for the men. And I also think that a lot of men kind of sense that and know that, and that's not really what they want either.
Hmm. Tell me more about that. Why in your mind is it not good for the guys either, as you put it?
Well, okay, so the brigade system, Escoffier, you know, began the brigade system back in France, and we have to go back all the way to this to really kind of explain it, but, you know, the system of learning how to be a cook in Europe was always apprenticeship.
Sure.
And then at some point, from what I've read, you know, those apprenticeships were on site, and then the sleeping arrangements were kind of communal. So it was just like no women allowed. And so at that point going forward, it was just like this very male environment. And the apprenticeships, they start very young, like 13, 14 years old. And so you've got this like delayed adolescence at play, you know, in addition to an extremely high volume, high energy, intense, exhausting, long hours kind of job. So you've got that competitiveness, and then you have, you know, kind of an eighth grade sensibility. And bringing those two things together just results in this like, ugh, you know, it's kind of really, it doesn't, I like banter. I like, you know, a joke. I even like bawdiness. And a lot of women who are in the kitchen do. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that when it crosses this line into this kind of like power dynamic that's like sexual, or, you know, when somebody says something that makes me have to think about their lonely parts, you know, that's completely out of line. I don't care what industry you're in.
Yeah, I mean this is like a dumb analogy, but it's almost like there's a weird dynamic in restaurant kitchens in the chef world where, you know, you're in some ways you have to feel like you're a warrior, and in some ways you have to feel like you're a poet, right? And
yes,
and the culture of that violent culture makes it so, you know, it's sort of ultimately like people are like dehumanizing themselves, and like that's why it's also easy to dehumanize other people that you work with and treat them terribly.
Right. Yes, you're right. And it, you know, and that kind of talk just really demeans the industry all around, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what it is exactly like? I have chickens, you know, now. and I look out the window and I see it happening in my roosters, you know? I mean, they're performing. It's bravado. They're crowing. It's this kind of, you know, this thing. And but that said, you know, I was given a lot of opportunity by a lot of the chefs that I work for. So I was able to rise up really pretty quickly, and I was given a lot. So I also have to say that. I mean, I think that a lot of women do extremely well in cooking. And, you know, the qualities that are needed to make a chef, a great cook, are not gendered whatsoever. You know, actually, I actually kind of wrote them down. I mean, it's like level-headedness and unflappability and good communication skills and a good palate and, you know, hard work and what else? Sensitivity. I mean, all these things are just, they're not gendered. There's absolutely no reason that men have had, you know, a run on the industry for as long as they have.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Amy.
Happy to.
Amy Phelan is the author of Give a Girl a Knife,